Parental Guidance Suggested. This morning's Bible reading from Psalm 137 contains what is probably the most offensive verse in all of the Bible. Maybe not, but very well may be. Psalm 137. If you want to follow along, don't read to the end. Just, you know, follow along. It's on page 576 of the Old Testament side. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, and there we wept when we remembered Zion. On the willows there we hung on our harps, for there our captors ask us for songs, and our tormentors ask for mirth, saying, "Sing us one of the songs of Zion." How could we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand wither. Let my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth if I do not remember you, if I do not set Jerusalem above my highest joy. Remember, O Lord, against the Edomites, the day of Jerusalem's fall, how they said, tear it down, down to its foundations. O daughter Babylon, you devastator, happy shall they be who pay you back what you have done to us. Happy shall they be who take your little ones and dash them against the rock. I don't feel like singing after reading that. You know, I just read it, but we don't read that verse. You know, this week's reading makes a good reggae song. Makes a good disco song in some ways. It makes a good U2 sounding song. It felt good to sing that song in church today. By the rivers of Babylon, where we sat down and there we wept when we remembered Zion. It felt good. Both the song and really the entire psalm expressed this sorrow, this pain. But you notice the song that we sang doesn't quote the entire psalm. The sentences at the end of this morning's reading make me want to throw up. I mean, I can understand that the psalm writer had pain. I can't understand the pain that the writer had, but I can understand that there was pain. I can't understand the anguish that the people who endured atrocities committed against them by the Edomites felt. I haven't felt that kind. I can't understand a desire to kill the children of your enemies, even though the enemies have treated you, your people, your children in awful ways, probably raping and murdering them. I've never experienced the kind of rage that would come from seeing your children savagely murdered or abused. I can't get it. I can see how a person or a people would feel that payback is the only thing that would give them satisfaction. I can see how a person or a people would want revenge after they'd been treated so savagely. I can see how people today want revenge against those who have murdered innocents. But I can't understand at all wanting to take the little ones and dash them against the rock. So this brutal emotion, this brutal saying, this awful saying, it's expressed right here at Psalm 137. I wish it wasn't there. I wish that no one had ever written it down, but there it is. It's been written. It's in our Bible. I really don't want to read it. Of course, I'm preaching on it today. But, you know, it's here. It's the featured text on our bulletin. Some scholars, some preachers have been more understanding with this. They say that they really appreciate the psalm because it gives permission for people to be honest with God, to say anything to God. And I've heard others say that they're surprised that people are so offended by it, because if they're offended, why aren't they offended by all of the brutality that we see on TV and in our streets and throughout the world every day? And then this is worse. I just can't go there. I can't feel that. I can't understand that kind of emotion. I agree that we can say anything to God. We really can. We can chew God out. We can scream at God. We can call God awful names. We can vent. We really can. And God doesn't, send down the cosmic lightning bolt or anything like that. I think we can let go of anger and pain. God's big enough to handle our anger and pain. In our crying out, we usually begin that slow process of healing. Even in our completely disheveled state, even in our completely inappropriate words, even in our awful names that we might call God, God understands and God listens, always. Not like a cosmic sheriff, but like a loving parent who can hear the pain in our words. But as I say that, I've got to mention that Psalm 137 is not the only place in the Bible where such awful words exist. It's not like they're common, but they're present. In Isaiah 13:16, the wrath of God is what is being described. It's the wrath of God against evil. So this is the prophet talking about, this is what God is going to do. Here's what it says. Their infants will be dashed into pieces before their eyes. Their houses will be plundered and their wives ravished. That's in the Bible too. But even with that, let me repeat this. God isn't the cosmic sheriff waiting for humanity to mess up so that God can strike down with lightning bolts or something like that. Harsh, awful words have been used to describe what God is like, but that is not what God is like. In the Isaiah passage, which is the prophet saying this is what God's going to do, it's awful, and I can't do anything good with it. But the psalm actually is a little bit different, because the psalm is the words of a writer in pain and in anguish. It isn't a promise. It isn't really, well, it can't be a description of what God is like. If that was the case, every time we read something where someone felt abandoned by God in the psalms, then God would be one who abandons. It's the emotions, it's the pain, it's the anguish of someone who is writing. It's the emotions, it's the pain, it's the anguish of the people singing. The psalm doesn't call on God to kill children. It has the voice of a writer saying that happiness comes to people who get revenge against the Edomites, the people that had caused all this pain to the people that the writer comes from. It says that happiness will come to those who slaughter the children of their enemies. There will be a satisfaction. We can say anything to God. But may I draw a line and say it's not okay to seek revenge? It really isn't. It's not okay to call for the slaughter of innocent children. Because payback is dangerous. It doesn't pay back anything. All it does is escalate. If someone does something bad to you and you respond with something as bad or a little bit worse, there's always another payback. Violence begets violence. Wishing harm on our enemies and our adversaries comes out of a desire to pay back for what they have done. And it doesn't work at all. Good advice. At least advice I'm giving, and I hope that you would agree, and I don't know that anyone will, but this is advice that comes from me. Revenge is a dish best served not at all. But let's not forget that these horribly offensive words are in our Bible. They're right there. We can't ignore the fact that they are there. This is our sacred book. This is the book that we say, follow this book and your life will be better. Follow this book because it's what God wants you to do. But remember, there is this overarching theme of the Bible. And we have to view everything through that lens. This overarching theme of God creates, we mess up. God redeems, we mess up. God recreates, renovates. God makes good, we mess up. That's the ongoing theme. This verse in the Psalms doesn't necessarily reflect that. Although I think that the motivation, maybe not the motivation, the words, the thought, the emotion reflect a messed up something. Everything is messed up. Why in the world would anyone ever wish violence, murder, destruction on innocent children? Why do we wish violence, murder, destruction on anyone? The words in the psalm also don't reflect the other lens that we have to view everything in the Bible from, the two rules of love God and love everyone. It's in the Old Testament. It's in the New Testament. For those of us who want to say, well, this is the Old Testament, and we have to look at the New Testament and say, well, Jesus would never say that. Jesus actually quoted part of Psalm 137, not in the same context, but the words were there, and the people who would hear it would probably remember those words, those horribly offensive words, remember that pain that they felt. But Psalm 137, the end of it there, Isaiah 13, some other passages in Hosea, they do not reflect the character of our Holy Scripture. We can't judge Christianity. We can't judge our faith based on what stands out as not in keeping with these two rules and this overarching theme of God creates and we mess up and God redeems. We can't judge our sacred texts by the presence of anger, by the presence of offensive verses or unacceptable texts, because they are there. They are there. But they don't reflect what Christianity is. Actually, we can't judge the sacred texts of any religion that way. It's not fair to do that, because we all have stuff that we wish wasn't there, but they don't reflect the theme of what these are. We can call the end of Psalm 137 what it is. It is horrible. It is offensive. It is unacceptable words. And we can acknowledge that the pain expressed comes from deep within the heart of someone or a people who have been through devastating circumstances and brutal treatment at the hands of someone else. We can, instead of being agents of revenge, be agents of healing. Instead of being agents of division, we can be agents of unity when we hear others cry out. We can hope that others will hear our pain and be agents of healing and unity instead of division when we cry out, because we do cry out in anguish as well. This and so many other psalms, more than half of the Psalms, remind us that in our anger, in our pain, and in our sorrow, we can cry out. We can sing the blues. And in our crying out, we can begin that slow healing process. We can begin to live with and heal from devastation as we remember the place of pain and simply acknowledge there we wept. And let's pray. Thank you, God, for hearing every one of our prayers. Help us to remember your two rules. Help us to not seek revenge, but to seek unity. Help us to be your church, a community of faith together. In Jesus' name, amen.